this morning I want to begin a little different. We've already prayed a little bit, but I want to pray some more before we get started. Want to have a concert here, the kind of concert that comes when God's people come together and pray in strength and in power and intercede for somebody. Okay, we need to do that uniquely today as we get started. I do want to tell you that the family, Audrey's family, today it's Sunday, it's been a long week, and they would rather not have any visitors today. So that's just, y'all pray, keep praying. We're going to pray now, but keep it up, okay? You'll hear as things go and then, you know, as things move, what's going on, and we'll make sure you get that word. But stay away from the hospital today, okay? So, here's my invitation to you. If you want to pray where you are, you pray where you are. If you want to come up here, you come up here. But I want you touching somebody beside you. Okay? So if you want to come up now and if you want to kneel, you want to put hands on your people beside you, you can come up and do that now if you want to. Come on. Or if you want to stay where you are, it's fine with me. But we need to specifically pray for Keith right now again. Okay? Let's do that. Lord God, you've called us to be your people. And Lord, we are your body, and you've told us that if part of our body is hurting, that we can come before you as your people and lift them up. So Lord, today we lift up Keith Wells. Now Lord, many of us don't know Keith, but we know Audrey. And Lord, if you know anything about Audrey's family, it's just there are a few folks who are more gracious and inviting. And Lord, we know that Keith is a servant. So Lord, I'm praying for your servant right now. Lord, his humble life, Lord, I'm asking you to restore that to him, that he might praise you and serve you more. Lord, I pray for the family right now, as they are coming together to be strengthened and to trust you in this time and to watch what you do. Lord, I am praying for power and for peace. Lord, I ask that we would see your hand and that it would be declared that our God is a God who still brings life. Lord God, we thank you for meeting with us and being with us, and for telling us we have the authority to come before you to intercede for our brothers and sisters. Lord, we've been interceding all week for Haiti. Some of us have been interceding for Haiti and for Keith and for many other things that are in our lives and on our plates. Lord, none of those are going by without your attention. And we thank you for that. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we get started this morning, I know I'm changing tempo, but hang in there with me for a second. We're talking about life. You know, we have to kind of embrace life as it comes sometimes. You know, God is sovereign. We're not. We think we have the right idea about the way it ought to be, but that's not always the way it is. Okay? We also have to embrace the fact that sometimes God's way is not our way. And yet we have this life that's been handed to us. We've been born twice if we know Jesus. We were born once physically, and then when we came to Him and we surrendered our lives to Him, we became one of God's children, and we have a spiritual life that takes place, that birth that takes place in our hearts and our lives. So we are born twice. We have this unique life that God has given us. It's very precious. So as you think about the precious nature of that life, don't misunderstand the message of this movie you're going to see. It's funny, but it's serious. Artie, can you cue that up for me?
Life is a strange thing. Some people say that life is a gift. Others say life is random.
What are the odds?
In either case, life is something we wrestle with every day. Sometimes life is great.
Life number one!
We see that life is short and are determined not to let life pass us by. We live each day squeezing every last drop out of our one and only life. We love life. And walk around totally high on life.
Well, that's the good stuff.
Especially when you find the love of your life and make a new life together. Life is never quite the same after that. And pretty soon you experience the joy of bringing a new life into the world. But that's when life can get complicated. Suddenly, your life isn't the only life you have to worry about. Life can get a little routine, predictable, sometimes plain boring. And you can even start to feel trapped by life.
No.
You wonder, what happened to my life?
What happened to you?
How did my life get like this?
How'd you get like this?
And next thing you know, you're having a midlife crisis.
I want a Corvette.
To make matters worse, you start to worry about your kids' life. You try to shape their life and give their life some direction. But all they care about is their social life.
Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Hello? Oh, hey, Susie. Yeah, I'd love to come over and study.
And the more you try to help them, the more they say things like, "This is my life," or "Stop ruining my life." But you can't help thinking they are taking their life for granted. Yep, life can be confusing. It can make you mad. And sometimes life stinks.
Dude,
you look at life and wonder...
What's your point, huh, tough guy? You got a point? I want to know it.
You can feel beaten down by life.
Hey.
Crushed by life. Your life starts spinning out of control, and you can't get your life back on track. You start to think, is this all life has to offer?
You're only making them angrier!
But nothing puts life in perspective like a near-death experience.
Run for your life!
Then you cling to life. You realize that life is precious.
You are so precious.
Life is sweet. You say, I have a new lease on life.
Booyah!
My life will never be the same.
Yeah!
And if you're lucky, you may even find your life's purpose. Or not. Either way, one thing's for sure. Whether it's long or short, happy or sad, dull or stressful, life is the best thing that ever happened to us. And you can bet your life on that.
You get the picture. Well, today I'm going to talk about life. Talk about your life. Okay. As I talk this morning, the truth is that there are going to be all kind of pictures and images and movies running around in your head. There are going to be thoughts that you're going to have as you reflect on the things that I'm talking about. Some of them will have seemingly absolutely nothing to do with what it is I'm talking about. Some of them will be, well, yeah, you'll be paying attention and something will associate exactly with what I'm talking about. What I want you to see this morning is those things are from God. That is God speaking to you, and I want you to listen to them, and I want you to watch them. I want you to see the movie in your head and know that it's not for just haphazard. Okay? There's a purpose in all of it. Listen to what God says. This morning, I guess, if you're going to Artie, if you'll pop up that first title slide. If I already give this a title, let's do the passage first. We'll do that since I put it that way. We're going to look at a verse that you have heard around here an awful lot. We preach on this talk about this. We're all over this verse quite often. The fact that Jesus said the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I have come that they may have life. And you can put in that slot where it says they, you could put you, if you would like to, may have life and have it to the full. Very important. Jesus spoke this whenever he was talking about the fact that he was the good shepherd. And he was drawing a distinction between that which was not good and that which was good. And he was good, and the others, they're not so good. Once you've received the life that God has for you, you have to ask the question, what then, or in a sense, what now? Basically, what fills your life? That's the title. What is it that's filling your life right now? I'm going to give you four things this morning because this is a very important question to ask. Four things this morning that I believe you will be able to say, these are things that shouldn't fill up your life. And then I'm also going to talk about four things that should fill up your life. And quite frankly, the only way I know this is because it's what the Bible says. How about a relying on the truth. So, as we get started, let's look at the first passage. This first passage is from Matthew chapter 19. And the first fact is, abundant life is just not convenient. A full life is not convenient. Let's look at this passage. You'll see it's set inside of the story. The story of Jesus talking to the rich young man. Sometimes the Bible says, the rich young ruler, depending on which gospel you look at. Well, in Matthew's gospel, here's how it goes at the end. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect or complete or whole or mature, you can use any of those words, go sell your possessions and give them to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. This is Bill Gates, Jr. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, abundant life just isn't easy, folks. It's not convenient. And the problem is, in our culture, we like everything convenient. If the church isn't on the corner, or it's not close enough, or it doesn't have what this or that or the other, we don't want to go there. Because it's not convenient. Abundant life, Jesus said, isn't convenient. This guy had everything. And folks, to the world, we have everything. It didn't take us weeks to get here today. It took us 20 minutes. It's just not convenient to follow Jesus. And your life that He's given you, this double life, the one you were born to and the one you were reborn to, is not about convenience. If we fill our lives with convenience, then when the littlest thing happens, we get all bent out of shape. And we're supposed to be the ones who have peace. We are all out of kilter because our little convenient lives all of a sudden got derailed. You know, I have to believe that there are probably people in Haiti that can handle the stuff they're dealing with better than me. Because my life's been chock full of convenience. I got a lot of stuff. And if all my stuff, we get all bent out of kilter because the economy goes south. A little bit. But the life that Jesus has for us, the life that's supposed to fill us up, it is not supposed to be filled up with convenience. And how much time are we spending trying to preserve our convenience? Hold on to it, bare knuckled. All right, number two. Fact two, abundant life is not being busy. Our lives are not supposed to be filled with busyness either. Here's another passage. This one, guys, honestly, is going to be a lot more obscure to you. But once we've read the story, I think you'll see where I'm going. It's from Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Be careful. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much. You have harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Next slide. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up in the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is doing what? Busy with his own house. Now, there was a literal time in history where this actually took place. But we can look at this and see he is speaking to us right down to the core of our society. Symbolically. Think about it for just a second. Reflect on that for a second. Aren't we a little bit too busy doing things that really don't have eternal significance to it? Don't we do that every day? While attending to our own kingdom and not God's, how long will it be until our kingdom crumbles? You know, we fret a whole bunch about what goes on in our country, one way or the other. But unless we return the hearts of our nation to serving the living God again, we're just spitting in the wind. I don't care what your political bent is. How much of our energy, how much of your energy every week really goes to building the kingdom of God? You ever think about that? Here we have Haggai talking to the people. God speaking to him about building a literal building. God doesn't really worry about a literal building too much anymore. He's more worried about the temple that is being built that are the people who belong to him. So how much time are we given to building the kingdom? And how much time are we given to building our kingdom? We have made a religion out of pursuing retirement. Those of you who retired, God bless you. But the culture has preached a lie that your highest good is to be ready to retire. I hope you're ready, yes. But the reality is we've made it the highest good, and it's not. It is life. It is the life that comes from being with God, in God, serving God, and it's not about busyness with our own stuff. It's about being His and then obeying Him. Third fact, number three. Here, abundant life is not selfish. From the New Testament, we see Paul saying this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. And if that wasn't strong enough, look at the next one. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. What was that attitude, you might think? Well, he goes on. Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Well, when you think about that, gosh, you have to realize that selfishness and being selfish is a liar. Why? Well, it promises fulfillment. Being selfish promises that you'll have everything you need. You can take care of it yourself. You can be important. You can be totally fulfilled if you just focus on yourself. But the problem is, selfishness really leads to emptiness. Because at the bottom of the bucket, you look at that bucket that may represent your life, you find out it's pretty small if all it holds is your own self-interest. There's really not very much there. On the contrary, Jesus modeled for you and me a life that was full. And he gave to us a life that was meant to be full. But it wasn't meant to be full of self. It was meant to be full of selflessness. Number four, abundant life is not just existing. Here, this passage is from Matthew chapter 25. Here, this is one of Jesus' parables. And at first, you may kind of wonder, well, how do you get there with this passage? Well, let me read the passage and we'll get there. Jesus said, as he was telling this parable, then the man who had received one talent, he came and, Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Now, what did this guy do? All he did was tried to hunker down and protect what he was given. And that was not, if you look at the rest of the parable, what the master intended. The master intended for him to take a risk. The master intended for them to do something with what he entrusted to them and then give it back to him, having somehow multiplied and grown. And that is what he expects of us. That's why he told the story. Is that what he gives to us, the life he gives to us, the abilities he gives to us, the talent, the precious stuff he gives to us, we are to present it back to him multiplied. Now, if you and I are just existing, that doesn't happen. We hunker down and we just try to hold ground. You know, there are a lot of people who do this just existing in a lot of different ways. Some people just exist because they do nothing with the eternal life that's been given to them. Nothing. They treat knowing Jesus like fire insurance. They've got their get out of hell free card, and that's as far as they go. Then there's other people who, even though they know Jesus, they see life as being so complicated, so oppressive, that they bury themselves in things like drugs or alcohol because they're trying to do something to soothe the pain and just get through the day. I've got family members who have done that. You probably do too. There's so little that is in their life that they're just trying to exist. And that is not who Jesus has made us to be. Abundant life is not about existing. It's about thriving. You've heard us use that word. Jesus said, He came that we might have and have it to the full. Something different about that life. It's not just getting through a day. Number five. Now here we're going to turn a corner. We're moving from what that full life is not to what that full life should be. What shouldn't be in our lives to what should be in our lives. I know these for a fact. And the first one is that this abundant life is a relationship with the living God. Jesus said in the high and priestly prayer, chapter 17 of John's Gospel, verse 3, one of my favorite little passages. Artie, pop it up there for me. Now this is eternal life. Whatever else you might want to put into blank, you can set it aside, because this is it. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, if you ever wanted to have a proof text that eternal life was about a relationship with God, there it is. It's about a relationship. Knowing God. It's not knowing all the stuff about God. It is knowing God in a relational way. To this day, we need to understand that this is the day. This is the time, now is the time for us to have this kind of life. And the problem is, there are those of us who have not yet engaged in this relationship, and there are others of us who have this relationship, but we are not maintaining it at all. You know, it's just a matter of fact. And you guys think about the story in your head here, okay? Because you're going to have a different application how this might apply to somebody you know. But the reality is that once you are withdrawn from God, or you are withdrawn from His people, and you are isolated, the reality is you become more and more susceptible to the enemy. You believe anything any knucklehead tells you. You are more open to attack than you've ever been before when you're all alone and you're isolated. When you don't have this relationship with God that you're nurturing, you are ripe for the picking. And you think you're invincible, you're 10 foot tall, and you are bulletproof. Because you got your fire insurance. But you're human, and I'm human. And God has this life for us, but the only way we're going to really enjoy this life, we're going to experience this life to the full, is if we will engage in the relationship with God that He holds out for us. He's given us life so that we can know Him. He's given us this birth in our spirits so that we can understand Him and know that He lives with us. That's life. And growing in that is what life should be all about. This is what should be in our lives, this relationship. It ought to be the thing that glues everything together, holds everything together. It ought not just be the number one priority in our lives, it ought to be our life. Fact 6. Abundant life is a process of growing that is a shared experience. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul wrote, "It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be what? Infants. We won't be immature anymore. Tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming." Is there a lot of folks out there these days who are out there deceitfully scheming? Wow. Man, we got all kinds of media bombarding us every day, because they want to direct what we do, control what we do, how we live, what we think. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, you look at this passage, And you have to take away from it the fact that God made you to grow up. He didn't make you to stay an infant. He's given you a family. A literal family, but a spiritual family as well, in which to be nurtured and developed. Just like I've been taking care of Abby and Luke ever since they were born, from day one, and they still live in my house, and then one day I get to say, okay, you're gone, you're an adult, and there'll be one day, although Luke is saying he's never leaving, and I love him. It's our job to nurture and develop our kids. It's our job to nurture and develop the people that God allows to be born in our congregation spiritually. And to make sure that everybody gets challenged to grow. Because one thing I do not want to have happen when I die is I do not want to have to see Jesus, and I do not want to have to say when I see Him, I mean, I do want to see Jesus, but I don't want to have to say when I see Him that I let somebody sit on the pew and stay an infant all their spiritual life. That's wrong. Grow up. That's what full life's about. Growing up. And we can't do it alone. We are a body. And because we are a body, we all have to be a part of each other's growing up. And there's something miraculous, amazing, I can't even describe it whenever God does that. When we all mature and then we all together mature. It's just phenomenal. God begins to move in miraculous ways when that happens. And nobody stays the same. Everybody wants to come get around it. If you want to have a full life, you have to share it with people. You can't be, and some of you may argue with me, sorry, but scripturally I feel like I'm pretty strong ground. You can't isolate yourself from other believers and be a grown-up believer. You have to be with other people. Because you can't grow up the way God wants you to grow up unless you're connected to the body. And His goal is that the body grows up. So if you're not connected to the body can't grow up the way He wants it to grow up. But you lose out too. It's a double fulfillment or a double curse, depending on which way you look at it. Abundant life is a process of growing. That's a shared experience. That's full life. Full life. Number 7. Abundant life is joyful. Artie, pop me up in the next one, bud. It's joyful. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Again, that word, complete, can also be mature, grown up. You may not like it, but joy is connected to obedience. So, if you're having a joy problem, and there's days, hey, folks, I'm in this. I wake up sometimes, or I go to bed sometimes, and I'm just not feeling joyful. The first thing that I have to ask myself is, if I've got a joy problem, is there an obedience problem first? Is there something God's told me to do that I'm not doing? Because joy is a part of and being connected to the idea of obeying. How many of you got kids? Okay, if you're an adult, you got kids. There's nothing better than telling your child, son or daughter, to do something and then seeing their face when they do it. Because they have pleased their parent. And you as a parent, there is nothing better. All is right in the world for about 20 seconds. But it's great. It is, I mean, man, you can ride that cloud for a while. It's wonderful. That's joy. Get that picture. The life that He wants for us, the life that He's given us, it should be full of joy because it's full of obedience. You know, rebels aren't very happy people. They're always fighting something. And there's a place sometimes for rebels. But if you can't ever break from being a rebel, life's pretty miserable. And the last one, number 8, abundant life is outward bound. This we get with the Great Commission, Matthew 28. I could read it all. You've heard it again millions of times. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Therefore go, or as you're going. Why are you going? Because you're going to go. You're made to go. I called you to go. Going is who you are. Our lives are lived on the go, right? So the gospel He preached should fit us pretty well. Because wherever we go, there He is. There we are, and there's the world. You know, this last week, I spoke with somebody on the phone who they wanted to ask me a little bit about us and how we are arranged and what we did and all that. And it's hard to communicate to somebody that it's a value of ours to be out there and not to be circling the wagons and focusing on hunkering down and staying out of the world. Whenever you hear somebody's speech and you know that that's where they are, and thinking, boy, it would be nice to be a little holy huddle, all safe and comfortable. But that's just not who we're supposed to be. It's like talking to somebody in a different language. A full life is when you're outward bound. When you're living to fulfill the mission that Jesus has for you and living the life that He's got for you. You know, I'm like anybody else. There are times where, I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. And I don't want to take a risk. And I don't want to get out there. And I don't want to meet somebody new. Or I don't... We all have days like that. But what is the direction of your life? Is the direction of your life outward bound? Or is the direction of your life just focused on you? Because Jesus said, if you follow Him, you got authority to go. You got what you need to hit the road. And you'll change the world when you do. That's life. And this morning you've heard me say a lot of things. Some things you realize you may not want to do, and some things you may realize you want to do. I don't know what movies have been going on in your head, what you've been thinking about. I don't even know if you heard a word said. But I know that if you're listening to God, He's speaking to you about something. And this morning, I want you to respond to God some way. If it's writing on a card saying, pray this way. If it's coming forward and kneeling and praying for somebody else. Or if it's that you need to come up here and kneel and ask God to get something out of the way so you can act on what He said to you today. Because I think that's really what this altar time, when we provide it for you, should be about. It's not about take care of me. It's about removing from my life what it is that keeps me from being who God wants me to be. Removing the obstacles. That's what worship does. It removes the barriers between us and God. so we can hear from Him. We can enjoy His presence. So this morning, as we come to this time, I want you to think, I want you to listen, and respond as God leads you. The front will be open. You can come kneel up here and pray. If you have somebody you want to pray with or somebody you want to pray for, feel free to do that. Kenny and the guys will be up and playing in the background. If you just want to pray where you are, that's fine too. The way we do things, if you're visiting with us, is we've got a basket back there and two baskets up here. And anytime as we're in this ministry time, if you want to get up and put your offering in the basket, you can do that, or you can put it in the basket as you leave. It doesn't matter. We just believe that it's an act of worship whenever we give. And that's why we have the baskets there, and that's why people do that during worship. So you listen to God and respond to Him as we pray. Let's bow. Lord God, I pray that You would continue with us in this time. That, Lord, the things that You have spoken to us as we've been before You today, that, Lord, we would respond to You. We would act on what You tell us that we need to do. And that, Lord, if there's something that needs to be removed from our lives or something that needs to be changed or redirected, that we would be open to You to do that, and that we would make a time right now where we would build an altar and let You do that as we put ourselves on the altar. Today is the first day of the week. Is it going to be a good week? You know who makes that decision? You and me. You and me. Let's pray quickly and we'll go out. Lord God, we thank You for Your blessing. Lord, we are blessed people. Lord, let us be a blessing, and we bless Your name because we are God's people. Thank You for doing that in Jesus. Let us go forward and be outward bound. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.